Exodus 5:19. Brother Clare will be back next week. He sent me a text last night. I picked at him. I said, what time you'll be here in the morning? He don't know me yet. Exodus 5:19 and then Exodus 6:2. And the officers of the children of Israel did see that they were in an evil case. An evil case. After it was said, ye shall not minish or diminish aught of your bricks of your daily task. Don't tell me about your problems, they said. Just get the work done. And when we saw, when we heard this, we realized there's no way to win. We were in an evil case. The next chapter, the second verse, says, and God spake to Moses, because they speak to Moses, Moses speaks to God, and said unto him, I am the Lord. Let me title this, Case Closed. Case Closed. I hear what you're saying, but I am the Lord. God, I come before you this morning knowing that before you, we're all an open book. Each day I try to learn a little bit more as we go, but you know the beginning from the ending from the beginning. You're the author, the finisher of our faith, the first and the last, he that is and was and is to come. But God, we're just mortals trying to get by. But Lord, help us to realize that when we find ourselves in a place like this, like they found themselves, we must turn to you and realize that you are the Lord and you are in charge, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Case closed. The children of Israel were under great distress. Amen. Today we call it stressed out. I'm stressed out. And they were in great distress in the days of the Bible. And it was described as an evil case. I would define an evil case as one in which you can't get out of. You know what a miracle is? A miracle is not the doctor found the right drug, or the doctor did the surgery and you got better. That's good. And God, we pray that keeps his hand on you and the pill works. But a miracle is when man has done all that man can do and God takes over. Now that's a miracle. Hallelujah. When the Lord can be the Lord and the God can be God that we serve, and you have to depend on him because nothing else is going to work. They found themselves in this evil case. And the taskmasters were demanding more work out of them, more bricks, more bricks. But the Bible tells us, and you can go back and read it. I'm going to paraphrase it but so I can get the thought out of it, that there was no straw to be found. Somehow they mixed straw with the clay or whatever and made these bricks. And there was no straw to be found. So their amount of bricks began to decrease as they had any straw. And the taskmasters and the officers came and they said, well, we have no straw. That's why we're short on bricks today. He said, well, go out and find some. But the Bible says there was no straw to be found. And so the people scattered in an effort to satisfy these taskmasters. And the Bible said they gathered stubble instead of straw. They began to pick up perhaps a lesser quality material, but that was what could be found. Now understand, while they're out looking, gathering this up, the way it was supposed to work is the Egyptians would supply them with the straw and they would make the bricks. But there was no straw to be found, and then they were scolding them and beating them for the lack of production. And then he said, there is no straw. They say, well, you go find some. So they go out and they find stubble and they start to use that and trying to do their work. But they still could not catch up to the demand of Pharaoh. So they fulfill their work, but they come up short on the number of bricks every day and they could not finish their task. They get further and further behind. So the officers of the children of Israel were beaten by the taskmasters because they were coming up short on their bricks. And they're like, I'll never get, there's nothing I can do. I can't win for losing. If you beat me because I don't have enough bricks, but then I got to go out and pick up stubble for straw, and I come back and I'll never catch up. And they saw that they was in this evil case. And so the offerings of the children of Israel, they go to Pharaoh themselves. They bypass Moses and they go right to Pharaoh. The officers do and say, why are you dealing with us like this? Why are you beating us? There is no straw. And you keep beating us. And he said, but the fault is in thine own people and not us. It's not our fault. We can't make these bricks. It's your fault for not supplying us with the straw. And what did the Pharaoh say? Ye are idle. You're idle. You're idle. Therefore, you say, let us go and sacrifice to our Lord. That's why you're not doing your bricks. You got time on your hands just so you could say, well, since we don't have any straw, let's go worship. You're idle. This is an evil case. When a person don't see themselves, you got trouble. You got trouble. Go therefore now and work, for there shall no straw be given you, yet ye shall deliver the tale of bricks. You're going to do it one way or another. And they'd beat them. These poor people were being beaten. So the officers of the children of Israel, I'm going to crank this up at Exodus 5 and 19. The officers of the children of Israel did see that they were in evil case. After that it was said, you shall not diminish aught. Don't slack off from your bricks of your daily task. And so when they realize there's no possible way to win, they go to Pharaoh. And as they come out, they meet Moses and Aaron after their meeting. And they look at Moses and Aaron and say, the Lord judge you. You keep telling us things are going to get better. Things are going to get better. And they keep getting worse. How many times have you talked to somebody, if you just get in the church, then all this stuff would... And they get in the church, and it's worse. It's worse than it ever was. He said, we're at the point now that they will put a sword in their hand and slay us. Moses, the name of the Lord, huh? Yeah, you're going to get us out of bondage, huh? And it's worse than it ever was. So Moses is pretty distressed. You talk about stressed out. This is the leader that's stressed out. So in Exodus 5 and 22, after they talked to him that way, Moses did the only thing he knew, and he returned unto the Lord and said, Lord, wherefore hast thou so evil entreated this people? He's you're allowing this, Lord. Why are you allowing this evil to come upon it? Why is it thou hast sent me? What did you call me? He said, go tell Pharaoh, let my people go. And look how he's beating them. For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in thy name, he hath done evil in the people, to this people. Neither hast thou delivered thy people at all. In fact, it's gotten much worse. And I will tell you, if you think you're going to get in the church and it's going to solve all your problems, you are wrong. What you have is Christ to bring your problems to. Amen. Moses went to the Lord with his problems. And so that chapter ends, the next chapter starts. And in 6 and 1, then the Lord said unto Moses, now shalt thou see what I will do. You see, I've been waiting on you to get to the point of crying out. It was not until they cried out that the Lord said, and I heard their cry. Let me tell you something. When my daddy said he's going to whip me, I started crying immediately. Let him know I'm feeling the pain already, Daddy. And maybe, just maybe, it worked a few times. It always worked with Mama, but it didn't work with Daddy. Now thou shalt see. Now it's time for you to see what I will do to Pharaoh. For with a strong hand shall he let them go. With a strong hand shalt thou drive them out of this land. Now I want you to focus on this. He's going to take them out of this land. It's time to change lands. It's time to change where we live. It's time to go now that you finally cried out to me with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind, and realize you're in an evil case. I'm going to close one door and I'm going to open another door. But there was no need for me to open this door until you're ready for me to close that door. Don't tell me about your husband beating you unless you're ready to close that door. I can't tell you how many people, and I'll use that as an example, as an extreme one, how many people said, I'm tired of this. I said, why are you putting up with it? God's not going to open another door until you're through with that one. And when you had enough of that one, you cry out to him, nobody else but him. And he says, I'm in charge. I'm the Lord. I've been waiting for this. Now that you cried out for this, this other door is now fixing to open. And I'm going to take you out of a land of punishment to a land of promise. We're just trading territories. Same people are going to move from one place to the other, but they'll be treated much different. It'll be much different. And God spake to Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord. You remember when Moses said, whom shall I tell them sent me? Tell them the Lord sent you. Tell them I am that I am hath sent thee. Now, this is a closed case. When God shuts a door, I read a scripture that is shut. When he shutteth a door, no man can open it. And when he openeth a door, no man can close it. It's a closed case. If the Lord said, you're coming out of Egypt and you're going to a land of promise, that's going to happen. It's going to happen. So he's going to take them by the hands out of the land of Egypt, literally by the hand. He said, I led them through the wilderness by my hand, and I'm going to bring them to this land of promise. I am the Lord. And so God began to shut the door in Egypt one click at a time. You know, it was like a door was, and Pharaoh would manage to squeeze, you know, but finally that last one clicked. And when it clicked, he said, y'all get up and get out of here. He'll send you out. He'll want you out of his land. And he sent them out with all the jewels of Egypt. So I want to make an announcement tonight. When God shuts a door, if you stay in Egypt, it's your fault. If you decide, well, y'all go ahead, I'm going to stay in this bad situation, it's your fault. Because he said, I'm going to take you out of this. Brother Ken's reminded me of this little joke. He's the only one that remembered it, so I can tell it again. There was a flood coming. And everybody knew it was going to flood. The water was going to rise. And there's a man living in, bless God, I'm not going nowhere, sitting in his little shotgun house, little wood frame house up on piers. He said, I ain't going nowhere. And so he sat there, and here come some trucks by loaded up and getting their stuff out because it's going to flood. And they saw the old man sitting there in his rocking chair. Said, hey, old man, it's going to flood. Don't you know that? Nah, I'm okay. Lord will take care of me. It's all right. Lord will take care of me. You sure you don't want us to help you? We got a little room here. We can take you. At least we get you out of here before that flood. Nah, Lord will take care of me. Okay. And they go on. And the water starts coming up. It's over the road. It's over the road. He's still rocking. And here comes a boat. And the boat comes by. And a guy sees the old man sitting there. You know, he's rocking in water. He's sitting there. And he says, hey, old man, we got enough room in this boat. We can get you. We don't have room for your stuff, but we can get you in this boat. We'll take you to safety because it's going to get high, and you're going to drown. He said, oh, don't worry. Y'all go on. The Lord going to take care of me. Me and the Lord, we tight. He's going to take care of me. He says, okay. So they go on. Boop, boop, boop. They go on. Water kept rising. He takes that rocking chair. He's up on the roof. He's waiting on the Lord. And after a while, there's nothing but the rooftop. He's looking around. After a while, a helicopter comes. They're looking, trying to save some people. They look and they see him down there. And a guy comes down in a basket. And there's the old man sitting there. He said, hey, grab a hold of this and get in this cage and we'll take you to safety. He said, oh, no, y'all go ahead. I'm fine. Lord's going to take care of me. Lord's going to take care of me. Don't worry about it. Well, water kept rising. And the man drowned. He gets to heaven, and he goes to the Lord and says, Lord, I thought you said you was going to take care of me. He said, I did. I sent you a car, I sent you a boat, and I sent you a helicopter. And you didn't latch on to any of them. So if you drowned, it's your fault. So if you want to stay in Egypt, he's saying, that's your fault. But I'm going to issue one night that you can get out. And brother, if you don't get out when the getting's good, you'll never be able to get out. You ever heard that saying, get out where the getting's good? So if you're going to stay there, I wrote this little note, if you're going to stay in Egypt, quit murmuring, quit complaining, and start making bricks. Because that's going to be your life. There's a lot of people making bricks today that had an exodus. Never took it. You remember a sermon? Anybody remember a sermon I preached called Don't Miss Your Exit? Don't miss your exit. God closed the door of Egypt because he opened a door in Canaan land. That's what the Lord does. I am the Lord. And so he's going to take them out and bring them over. But when God shuts a door, you can never reopen what he shuts. So be sure you're going to make the journey or you'll die in the wilderness. Because you will never be able to go back to Egypt. Too many people want a revolving door and it doesn't work that way. He said it's open or it's shut. He was taking them from a land of punishment to a land of promise. Taking them to a land that flowed, the Bible says, with milk and honey. All you have to do is walk across the Red Sea on dry land and start your journey. And can I tell somebody, at that time, they wanted to cross over? They were glad to cross over. They were happy to get out of that. But the journey hadn't started. And when they started their journey, there was no water. And there was no bread. And they had to trust the one that got them out. But they didn't trust the one that got them out. They just wanted out. And so they were like, I'm going to go back to Egypt. Let me just say this. Egypt's closed. They're closed. They're closed. This case is closed. Because you can't go back what God has closed. God delivered the children of Israel out of that Egyptian land with a mighty hand. After 400 years, listen to this. After 400 years of bondage and slavery and taskmasters and being brutally beat, although it wasn't the whole 400 years, because when Joseph was alive, it wasn't so bad. But that's the way it got in the end. They had 40 days. They got to the point they were 40 days from victory. 40 days. Only to be turned back for 40 years. Back into the wilderness. It all seemed so great. The thought of leaving here and arriving there. I'm in Disneyland right now. Where y'all at? I'm shooting a big buck right now. Where y'all at? I'm catching an 8-pound bass. Where y'all at? The thought of it was so exciting. But to get there was a journey. Many people shout the victory over the thought of victory and never have the victory. That's defeat. Because you got excited about nothing. That's getting dressed to go somewhere and going nowhere. Moses told them, okay, we're going to take the land, just like the Lord said. I want you to go over there and we're going to investigate the land. Go in and listen close to what I'm fixing to tell you. He, and I'm reading it. Go in and see what the land is. Look at the land. Look at the land. Look and see if it be good or if it be bad, if it be cities dwelling, if they're in tents or strongholds. Look at the land. See if it be fat, if it be lean, if there be wood or not. Be of good courage and bring back the fruit of the land. Because we're trading lands. And he said he brought them at the time of the first ripe grape. The door was just open. I mean, this was the time, anybody raised fruits, you know the first ripe fruit is the best. And that's why the Lord said, I want first fruits. Because he wants the best and he deserves the best. God brought them to the threshold of an open door to go in, just go in and possess. You crossed the Red Sea. You just had to walk across. All you got to do now is cross Jordan and the Lord will do the rest. So 12 spies investigated the land and brought back the proof of the promise. All 12 spies had one thing in common. All 12 spies had one thing in common in their report, and that was the land is everything God said it would be. Look at the grapes. Look at this. It's everything God said it would be. The difference was 10 of the spies said that the inhabitants of the land will eat us up. And 2 of the spies said, let us go at once and possess the land. Hear this morning. When you left Egypt, God shut the door and you can't go back. The door is closed. So now let's just settle on this. We got to go over. Say this with me. I must cross. I must cross. Amen. So when they saw the inhabitants of the land, they saw the land, but they focused on the inhabitants of the land. They said, we're going back. We've been praying about this. You know, it always gets me when people, when they want to do what they want to do, they'll come tell me, I've been praying about this. So that shuts me up. I don't have, there's nothing I can say then because you've been praying about it. What am I to say anything about it? But y'all got that for free. So starting a prayer chain and a 3-day fast to go back in a door that God has shut will never open. You can fast to your skin and bones. It's not going to open. When God shutteth a door, it is eternally shut. Say that I must cross over. I must cross over. God had opened this land to give to them, and he was waiting on them to cross over. Quit focusing on the inhabitants. Quit focusing, hear this, on the problem, and focus on the promise. If you focus on the problem, you will digress. But if you focus on the promise, you will go forward. All the promises, this is an announcement, all the promises of God are surrounded by problems. My daddy told me all the good things in life you have to work for. He was right. 1 Corinthians 16:9 says, for a great door, an effectual door, is opened before unto me. Paul is saying this. And there are many adversaries. You never get anywheres in living for God or in life without adversity. If you can't combat the adversity, then you will want to go back. Because you won't stay where you're at. You'll want to go back. But certain fearful looking for the judgment of, and fiery indignation which shall devour your adversaries. I'm going to let God fight that battle. I'm going to go in and possess the land. See, if the Lord would have told them when they were being beat by the taskmasters, now I'm going to bring you a land that flows with milk and honey. Now there's giants in the land. I just want you to know. They'd have said, we'll just stay where we're at. We'll just stay where we're at. Somebody says, there's church trouble in every church. Then why change? Sometimes I say, people go to church, change churches. It's like flies on a screen door. Some are wanting in, some are wanting out. So, God will fight your adversities, but you must be willing to cross over. Moses told him, it's because of your unbelief you will die off in the wilderness. And then they decided, we will cross over. Y'all come this morning. The first time, they wanted to cross over. Whew. So glad to get out of this situation. I'm telling you, it was beating me down. I'll tell you. The Bible says when they crossed over the Red Sea, then sang they the songs of Zion. Miriam got a tambourine out, and na-na-na-na-boo-boo, we don't have to worry about y'all anymore, and our little service to the Lord, we'll serve the Lord the way we want to serve the Lord. You mean old Pharaoh, you drowned it up. We see your body floating. Ah, I'm so glad they dead. I'm through with them. They were so happy to cross over. But when they got to Jordan, they were fearful to cross over. Say this with me. I must cross over. I must cross over. Because when they said, well, you know what? I remember sitting by that old flesh pot and eating that fish and garlic and onions. And I'm going back. Me too, I'm going back. What about you? Yeah, I'm going back too. Well, let's get us some captains and set us some captains. We'll all go back. We'll go back. Moses said, Egypt is closed. You can go back if you want to. But he opened the Jordan to get you out. He's not opening it for you to get back in. If you ever come into the church, you'll never fit in the world again. Never, 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 never. That door is closed. It'll never be the same. You can go back, but it's never the same. So why not this morning, instead of focusing on the problems like they did, let's focus on the promise that God has provided for us. He said, I'm going to bring you. See, he didn't tell him about the giants because he was going to take care of the giants. There's no need to tell you what I'm going to take care of, right? If I'm going to take care of them, you need me to tell you about it. I'll take care of it. But he told them, I'm going to bring you to a land that flows with milk and honey. You're going to live in a house that you didn't build. They ought to have been smart enough to know somebody's living there. somebody's got to get out for me to get in. You're going to drink water from wells that you didn't dig. Well, somebody did dig it. You're going to eat fruit from trees that you didn't plant. Well, somebody did plant it. And they're probably still there. But we got to go in and possess the land. The first time, they wanted to cross over. The second time, so they died wandering and going in circles. And the only two that said, let's go in at once and possess the land, they went in. And they lived in houses that they didn't build. They drank water out of wells they didn't dig. They did exactly what the Lord said. I am the Lord. Amen. Whatever God says and promises, let me tell you, he's waiting on you. No, that's not loud enough. Well, I'm going to cry out to the Lord. Oh, Lord. No, that's not loud enough. I'm talking about don't care if anybody's in the room kind of thing. I had enough of Egypt. You ever got to that point? Brother, you ever got to that point? You're a coach. You ever had enough? Somebody keep coming late and they keep coming late. I had enough of you being late. God is waiting for his people to cry out. He said, now I'll show you I am the Lord. As they sing this morning, I want to ask you this question. How long do you want to stay in Egypt, sir? How long do you want to be in the world? Because when God opens the door for you to get out, if you don't get out, that door will be shut. The sea opened and they went across. You don't want to be left on this side when you could cross. Stand with me this morning.
Victory in the house.
Thank you, Jesus. Oh, let me tell somebody something this morning. Let me tell some moms and dads or whoever it may be. Nobody can wear you out like your wayward kids. But can I tell you this? You're not going to stop it. You're not going to stop it. All the worrying in the world is not going to stop it. The day will come, and sometimes people cross with their children demanding they do what you're trying to stop them to do, and they cross. Here's what I'm asking you to do. Be patient with them until they cry out. Because you want them to cry out to you and not to somebody else. God waited, they murmured and they murmured and complained. The Lord told Moses, I'm the Lord. You're not going to stop everything they're doing. But I'm going to tell you what, I have seen lives turned around just like that. I'm talking about, One day they're in the bar and shacking up, and the next day they threw it all the world. They threw with it. They don't want no part of it. And it's not going to be because you was hounding them and harping on them. It's not going to happen. You just be patient, because they know where you stand. You're not going to tell them anything new that they don't already know. And just wait. And love them like, don't have to say love what they do, but you love them just like you always did. And keep that bond. And one day, they're going to hit a bottom. And your phone's going to ring. Text is going to come through, email or something. Could I talk to you? Why, sure. What do you need? I'm sick of this. Well, let's go to the house of the Lord. Let's go to the house of the Lord. Lord, I come before you this morning. In your book, every case is a closed case, because you know the beginning from the ante. But let that mind that was in you be also in us, that we understand you are the Lord. Even in the calling of Samson, as he went with another woman of the Philistines, and his own parents said, can you not find a woman of our own people? Even you said at that time, they knew not it was of the Lord. Because this was the beginning of his deliverance of Israel, but they didn't see how that could happen. But it ended the way you said it. And so, Lord, as parents and loved ones and friends that we have, we look at the situation when we need to look at the promise. Because this promise is unto you and to your children, as many as far off as the Lord our God called. And Lord, there's some here that's raised their children right on the pew, right in the church, and they're so seem to be so far away from it. But God, you know exactly the point at which they'll cry out to you and turn around and come home. So I ask you to give comfort to parents, friends, relatives, whoever it may be. Let them love them. They're still their children, still their loved ones, still their friends, until the day of help and reconciliation can come. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Wait on the Lord. Sometimes you just got to be still and just wait on the Lord. Amen. God bless you this morning. I love all of you. If you need me this week or anything, let me know. Brother Clary will be back next Sunday.